Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Parashas Acharei Kedoshim, 29th of April.
We find ourselves in a very interesting, exciting period between Pesach and Shavuos, and we count the Sefiras HaOmer to build up towards Matan Torah. What's interesting is that at the same time, during this Tkufa itself, we also have Avelus, should be a happy time, working towards Matan Torah should fill us with joy. But we also have an Avelus, certain halachas of mourning, because the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva were nifta during this Tkufa. Is there any connection between the two things, that are the two aspects of this time? The fact that it's between Pesach and Shavuos, it's the time of Sefiras HaOmer, and the fact that the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva were nifta. It's interesting that there's a big machlokes in the Pesachim when exactly we keep Yemei HaSefira. So from Minhagim, do you keep it from the beginning till Lag BaOmer? Maybe you keep it from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos, or you can keep the first few days of Rosh Chodesh and then you don't keep Shlosh Yemei Hagbonah. Different cheshbonos, different tkufos, different zmanim. It's a big machlokes. It's interesting. Some hold this time, some hold that time. When did the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva taka? When were they nifta? When weren't they nifta? And you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, and the Gemara says, when was it? It was between Pesach la'atzeres. The time that they were nifta was between Pesach and Shavuos. Well, but it turns out it's not quite true. It was some of the days between Pesach and Shavuos. You can't say that they were nifta between Pesach la'atzeres. Some of them, it's a few weeks, 33 days maybe, when they were nifta. Why does the Gemara give a blanket statement of between Pesach la'atzeres? And Rav Shmuel Shapira Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Shivim Bayankiv, gave an interesting teretz. He said it as a lomda shavot, but I think munach in it is an interesting idea for us. He said pshat is, there's a tkufa, there's a specific time period that is being Pesach la'atzeres. And if you look at the time that created that oynush, the oynush of Talmidei Rabbi Kiva, it was because it was during that time period. It was Bein Pesach La'atzeres. Technically, in practical terms, which part of the Tkufa were the Talmidim nifta? So there was a time when many were nifta. Maybe there was a time when it was slowing down, only a few were nifta. But the point is, what Chazal are telling us is that intrinsically, the cause and effect, as far as Kedushas Zman, was that the time that caused the Patira of Talmidei Rabbi Kiva was the fact that it was Yemei HaSefira. It was when Pesach La'atzeres. Halacha l'maisa, we don't keep Menhagim of Avelus during all of the Tkufa, during the whole period. Our minig is only to keep the Menhagim of Avelus during the time that the Talmud and Rabbi Kiva were actually Nifta. And that's the Machlokes. But everybody agrees that the Tkufa, what caused it, was the fact that it's Pesach La'atzeres. Now how do you understand that? How is the fact that we're counting Sefiras HaOmer a reason for Talmidei Rabbi Kiva to be punished with such a severe punishment? So to understand that, we have to look at what Sefiras HaOmer is about. What's the yesod of the Sefira? What we're meant to be mechav in the Sefira? What's our avodah during these days? A very, very famous vort, and famous vort are always in danger of being misunderstood, or certainly not quite appreciated. Because we've heard it already, it's an old vort. I'd like to take the most famous, classic Talmud of Sefiras HaOmer and to think about it a little bit. The Makor is the Rambam, but the Chinuch is Marchiv, that the avoid of Sefiras HaOmer is that when a person really looks forward to something, when a person recognizes that what's happening is really important, then naturally, you want to count towards that time. When you know that Chosh V'Gest is coming, a person that hasn't seen a child for a long time, maybe years, or a parent for years, you're looking forward. It's just human nature that you count towards that time, when that's going to happen. That in those days, in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael Be'emes were very involved in a Yetzias Mitzrayim. Emotionally, they just experienced Chayrus, that after 200 years of slavery, they'd been allowed out of Mitzrayim. And you would imagine that those feelings, the excitement of Yetzias Mitzrayim, would be so overwhelming that it would cancel out any other feelings. But that wasn't the case. Although they just left Mitzrayim, what they were feeling inside them was an overwhelming desire to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they knew that that would only happen fully with Matan Torah. So right from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole nation was busy looking forward to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to Matan Torah. Another day closer, another day closer. And that was the excitement of Sfiras Oimet. And today, a Yid understands that just as then there was a Matan Torah, so too, every year there's a Matan Torah. On Shavuos, every Yid is zeicher to the closeness that enables him later throughout the year to connect to Divrei Torah. We have a Matan Torah on Shavuos. It's Man Matan Torah Seinu. Not because there once was a Matan Torah, because every year there's a Matan Torah. And just as then Klal Yisrael looks forward to the Matan Torah, our avod is to look forward to Shavuos, to feel a cheshik to get there. Oh, soon we'll be able to have that Kiryas Elikim, where to stand Shavuos, hear the Dibros, and be mekabel the Torah once again. And we're looking forward to Shavuos. That's what it means to count the days of the Omer. And before going into the famous Kasha then of why we count up, not down, to that in a moment, just hearing this is a nidhi chiddush. There's an avoda in its own right of looking forward to something. What is that feeling? What is it that a person tries to develop during this tkufa of Sfiras Oimet? How does one look forward to Torah? How do you look forward to Matan Torah? What is it that raises a person's expectations or interest in Matan Torah? What is that avoda? And that's what we'd like to focus on. Rabbi Yisrael Elia Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Yisrael Elia Weintraub, explained this in an interesting way, and it's something that maybe we're not used to thinking about, but it's Nifla B'Yosem. And he said, Azay, what makes a person look forward to something? What makes you have cheshek for learning? Why is it that some people look forward to learning and some people find they just don't have the time? It's one word, kovod. How much value do we attach to Torah? We tend to translate kovod as honor or respect. Respect sounds like a nice, you know, polite English thing. Stand up for somebody when they come in. Kovod ha-Torah means there's a rabbi, you stand up for him. Kovod means more than that. Kovod means something that has value to this person. The word kovod comes from the root of kovod, or similar root to kovod, which is heavy. Even in Aramaic, the word for something that's mechubad is yikar. Yikar teferes gedulose. In Aramaic, the word in Aramaic, yokar means heavy. The more at the beginning of Eden Mitzis, yikiri, something heavy, it's yokar. Something that has weight is choshev. Something that is choshev. What does cheshivas mean? You don't push it around. It pulls that has weight. Covered. The avoid of these yomim is to have an appreciation and a value for Torah. And that's the sugya of counting towards Sfiras Oimet. Recognizing the importance, the cheshivas of what Matan Torah really means to us. The fact that Rebbein Shem is going to give us Tariag Mitzvahs. The fact that he's going to connect with us in a way that enables us to learn his Torah, to connect to his Torah, to understand his Torah. That's what we're looking forward to, and the avoda becomes an avoda of kavod. When the Gemara says in Yevamos that the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva were punished, Shaloi Noagu Kovod Zeloze. Often that's taken to mean, Noagu Kovod Zeloze was a Chisorin Ben Adam Lechaveri. Where do you find the mitzvah to be Mechabed another Yid? Because the Rambam says, V'haftal Reach Kameicha. One aspect of V'haftal Reach Kameicha is not just to be kind to him, to help him and to look after his needs, but also to be Mechabed another Yid. So, Leinoagu Kovod Zeloze was a Chisorin Ben Adam Lechaveri. Generally, in Svarim, the Marshode, on the Gemara and Yevamos, say clearly that's not pshat. It was not a sugi of Ben Adam Lechaveri at all. I'm sorry to disappoint any Ganenet or whatever. I mean, the general, it's often what's taught is that the sugi of Ben Adam Lechaveri, that wasn't the Isik. maybe there was intermingled the sugya ben Ram Chaveri, I don't know, but the sugya there, Reino Agu Kovit, says the Marsha, was a sugya of Kovit HaTorah. Yechavrusa learns Torah. Nachi learns Torah with you. But they felt they were equals, and they didn't value each other's Torah. The sugya there was a chisorin in Kovit HaTorah. In a tkufa, in a period where the whole avoid of Kalal Yisrael is to be developing Kovod HaTorah, if there's a weakness in it, then there's a tremendous kitruk. And then the Rebbe says, one second, this whole tkufa yid is meant to be working on Kovod HaTorah, and you haven't valued Torah enough. The fact that this yid next to you is learning Torah means he's all still another person. Doesn't give you a feeling towards him of chashivus. That's a chsar in Kovod HaTorah, and that's why there was such a severe punishment. So that already wraps up the ha'ora we were talking about, the connection between Pesach La'atzeres Sfiras Ha'ima and the fact that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were punished in a tkufa, in a time when there's a avoida of kovid. If there's a chisaron kovid, it's particularly serious. And that's an overview of what the avoida is in Yemei Sfira. But let's add to that a beautiful teretz on the kasha we mentioned before of why we count up and we don't count down. It's a very, very, very serious kasha. If your child has got an outing he's going on, and you know he's looking forward to it, and he's counting the days, and you make him a chart, you don't make a chart of the day he brought home the paper and the 3 weeks time he's going on an outing. So you don't make a chart and say, look, 1 day's passed, 2 days have passed, 3 days have passed. He's not interested in how many days have passed. If you're looking forward to something, then you're focusing on that distance that keeps you away from that great day. And you say, oh, look, it was so long to wait. Oh, a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less. What's of interest is the time that's left to the great occasion, not the days that are past. If we were focusing on Shavuos, if the Chinuch Pshat is correct, if the Rambam who tells us that it's a countdown to Shavuos is true, then it's very, very strange that we count the days from Pesach. That implies that that's not what Sfiras Ha'ima is about. Something to do with relating to Pesach, not to do with relating to Shavuos. Once had a beautiful teretz from Ramesh Shapira. I said, based on the date of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we know that unlike any other Moed, the Yom Tov of Shavuos has no date in the calendar. There's no Yoim. There's no specific date. It's always 50 days after Pesach. And if you have a calendar that changes, you have in the times when they were Mekadosh the Chodesh based on witnesses, on Edim, and depending on when the witnesses came and saw the moon, you'd have different Rosh Chodesh Iyar and different Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Then Shavuos sometimes was on the 5th, sometimes on the 6th, sometimes on the 7th. It had no set date. Nowadays that we have a particularly fixed calendar, we know when Shavuos is going to be. But even today, it's not really on that date necessarily. The Vort is, it's 50 days after Shavuos. After Pesach. Shavuos is a Yom Tov that has no date. So when is it? Whenever you make it. You have to create Shavuos. It's not a Yom Tov that's there, that you can count towards it. It doesn't yet exist. If you're on a train, and you're measuring how many stations there are left, it makes sense to look at the distance remaining, because the destination is there. We're working up towards it. And oi, that's what's separating me, is that distance. But if you're building a house and you're looking forward to the day that you're going to be able to move in, how would you measure the progress of the house? Well, the builder said it's going to take 16 weeks and there's 15 weeks left, 14 weeks left. You can do that, but it's much clearer to work out. You walk into the house and you see how much has been built. Oh, look how much closer we are to reaching our destination, to reaching our goal. A yid who wants to get to Matan Torah has to have climbed 49 steps. Each day, a deeper appreciation of Matan Torah. And the more he's excited about Matan Torah, the more the Shavuos will mean to him. The more he'll get from the Shavuos. The more Ashpah, the Rebbein Shem Mashpia on Shavuos. The more excited we are, the more interested we are. That's the clay kibble. That is the vessel into which the Rebbein Shalom will pour the Shefa of Brocha on Shavuos, the Shefa of Torah on Shavuos. So we are building a Shavuos. So how close are we to Shavuos? The days that are remaining or the days that have passed? It's the days that have passed. That's how we're building our Shavuos. So we're excited and we say we want to get to Shavuos. We say, look, we've already got 18 steps. It's up there. But we have to build up. We're already 20 steps high, 21 steps, 22 steps, on the 22nd step already. That's what's exciting. We're not climbing the steps, we're actually laying those steps. And when we get to the top, then the Reben Shalom is Mechadish Ahashpo of the Ontem Shavuos, the Shach HaMishim, that comes then on Shavuos. We're creating Yemei Asvira. Yontem of Shavuos with Yemei Asvira. We're creating a Matan Torah. And now the Chiddush is that that is created through the sugya called Kavod. There's a remez. We know that the Yemei HaSfira are split into two parts. Keneged, the sugya of Leiv Tov, person has to develop his Leiv during these days. A Leiv Tov, and Leiv is Gematria 32. Tov is Gematria 17. Altogether it's 49. It's one of the reasons, why Lag BaOmer such a special time. It's entered the chelik of Tov, whatever that means. There's Leiv, Tov. But another gematria tells us that Leiv is gematria 32 and Kavod is gematria 32. When we talk about developing the Leiv, what we want to develop in our Leiv is that Kavod, that chashivus, that importance of Torah. So I'd like to spend a few minutes just thinking more in a lemaisadige kivun of what it means to develop kavod, leiv, kavod for Torah. Let me take a pashto example. You know, when they wanted to develop the train line between Liverpool and Manchester, it was the very first line basically that was really running in this country. There was a tremendous resistance. At the time, Pashut, there were people, very powerful people, actually lords and members of parliament, who had vested interest. They had invested in various other systems, in the stagecoach and the Manchester Shipping Canal, and there was a lot of resistance in parliament to Bichlal set down the line. There was a major vikuach, and I don't want to mention all the details in this medrash, but it was a big vikuach. And one of the arguments against having trains running, an argument that almost swung the debate and knocked the whole idea out of commission, was the suggestion the trains would be going as fast as 20 miles an hour. Can you imagine? 20 miles an hour? You know how fast it is to be in a carriage? A carriage can go at 12 miles an hour. You know what it feels like? Can you imagine putting a human being at 20 miles an hour? If you suggest 30 miles an hour, people then were convinced that if you put a human being at 30 miles an hour, he probably couldn't survive the rigors of that journey. It's not safe. It's not safe to travel so fast. So how can you set up trains? You'll be killing people. Imagine, but who knows what's going to happen to the health of the country if you start setting people at 30 miles an hour. Imagine today that you're on a train between Manchester and London, and the train is going at 30 miles an hour. There's something wrong with the lines. You'd have something wrong with your health, wouldn't you? There'd be a serious level of stress. Stress can bring to all sorts of illnesses. Very different, very, very different experience of the problem with 30 miles an hour. If you're used to 12 miles an hour, 30 miles seems, too frightening, too fast. If you're used to 80 miles an hour, 30 miles is too frustrating because it's too slow. What that means is that we're always measuring everything against an internal standard. It depends what you're used to. Something feels fast or slow depending on what you're used to. When you come off the motorway, there's a big warning: slow down. You think you're driving slowly. You're not driving slowly at all. You think you're driving 40, you're actually driving 60. Because you were used to 70, so any drop in speed now feels slow. Depends what you're used to. We're measuring it against an existing standard. It's always like that. Was it a fast davening or slow davening? It's a machlokes. Something that was slow, something that was fast. Depends on your internal standard. Somebody who davens b'yishuv, actually maybe even says all the words, will find that, that was too fast for him, he couldn't keep up. Somebody who's used to davening very fast thinks, that was so slow. It all depends on what our internal standard is. So much of our maisim, so much of what we do, depends on our internal standard. A fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that when it comes to maisim, we know there's a din v'cheshbon. When it comes to machshava, a person has a thought, plans to do an aveira, and Rachman Litzlan, he's nichshol. And in the end, he's nichshol, he doesn't manage to do the mitzvah. Or faket, he wants to do an avera, and the Rosh Hashanah saves him. He's on his way, and he trips up, and he doesn't manage to get there. A juicy piece of lashon hara, and Yena's phone is busy. You try, and you can't get through. You can't get through a whole night, you can't get through, and the next morning someone else tells him. So you missed it. So it's chizhe, choshev la'as plan, but he didn't do it. Does he get punished for that machshava? And the person who planned to do the mitzvah, does he get schar for planning? Whereas there's an interesting thing, that by a yid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarev machshava toivo, but he's not mitzarev a machshava ro. So the person who planned to do the mitzvah, he really wanted to help somebody, wanted to give a yid a loan, and somebody else gave the person the loan, he gets schar, chizhev la'as mitzvah. Yeah, he wanted to speak Lashon Hara, but in the end didn't manage because somebody else chapped him first. Planned to do an Avera, but he's not punished for that Machshava. And the Gemara asks that doesn't seem to fit with the Psukim. And I brought a Pasuk to show that that's true. Shmogu doesn't punish for Machshavas. But there's another Pasuk that seems to indicate that Rebenshim does punish for Machshavas, a stira between the two Psukim. And the Gemara gives two terutzim. One terutz is that by Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch is Mechmeh, is Mitzarev, Machshavik Lemaisa. And the second shat is, Ullah says, there's a difference. If a person's only done Navira once, then the Rebbein Shem is Mitzarev, Machshavik Lemaisa. If a person has already done it twice, and now having done the Avera twice, he plans to do this Avera again, then the Rebbein Shem Mitzarev Machshavik Maisa. That's why I took the example of Lashon Hara, because something nobody's ever done before. Then you've got this din that the world's not Mitzarev. But if it's an Avera that a person has done more than once, then it could be that it is Mitzarev Machshavik Maisa. When the Shail is Pshat in the Gemara, what does that mean? Why should that be? Is Machshavik something the Rebbein Shem punishes for or not? If it is, so let him always punish a machshava. And if he doesn't, then why is it any different just because there's been a person doing the avera twice, and therefore, because he's done it twice, now the Rebbein Shem is mitzarev machshava lemaisa. Monoshev, is it or isn't it? So I saw in the Shem Yishmur, it's Chepash Yisra, I couldn't find it now, and Neiru Digavot, and it says, Gufa, this idea of understanding that a person lives on two levels. We live on a doing level, and we live on a feeling level. We have maisim and we have lev. And a person can do an avera that compromises his maisim. He's done something wrong. But inside, he's still holding on to his old standards. Really, he would like to serve the Rebbein Shalom. He wants to be on time for davening. But the Yetzer Hara chaps him and makes him oversleep. So there, it's a chet beguf. Practically, this person has missed davening. May have missed Siman Krishma, may have missed Siman Tefillah, he may just have missed Korbanos, but he's missed something. There's no question there's a loss in the Olam HaMaisa. In the world of doing, this person has done an Avera. But internally, he hasn't changed. He's still a person who's a Shachris person. He's there on time with his Talzin Tefillah, ready to daven. But then he does it again, and the second time, says the Gemara, Ovavishonon Nasa Lekeheta. Person does an Avera once, and repeats it again, it becomes mutter. It doesn't become mutter. He thinks it's mutter. If you'd ask him to paskin, he would say, no, I decided you don't need to say korbanos anymore. Takes it out of the Shulchan Aruch. No, what's pshat nasa loikaheta? Lev. His standards have dropped. He doesn't feel guilty if he does it wrong. Doesn't feel there's really an Avera there. Yeah, intellectually he knows there's something wrong, but internally his standards have dropped. The Rebbein Shem's done a person by his standards. That person, you don't care about that mitzvah. And now you tack a planned. That's not a person who really wants to get to davening and didn't. Not a person who wants to avoid Lashon Hara and didn't. Your whole Lashon Hara is not so serious. If you've dropped your internal standard, then that machshava is a true reflection of who this person is. Then machshava is very serious. Then the Rebbein Shem is mitzarev machshava kemaisa. We exist on two levels, and the averus b'maisim and averus b'lev, where we lowered our sense of covet, our value for something. Who we are, what we do, depends a great extent on what we feel inside, what our standards demand. You know, some people believe that guilt is a special koyach that the Rebbeinu Shem gave a person to know what's right and what's wrong. I'm not sure that's true. That would mean that a person feels guilty when he's done something wrong. Says that Ruach HaKodesh, the Neshama, knows what's wrong. And a person feels good when they do something that's right. I'm not sure that's true. A person who is used to doing Averis doesn't feel guilty when they do an Avera. What's right and what's wrong is developed by a person's das, by their appreciation, recognition, and kavod for suya, where your value system is what decides what's right and wrong. The cannibal doesn't feel guilty when he eats supper. Why shouldn't he eat supper? You know, maybe if he tortured his victim for too long, or then maybe he'd feel a bit bad, maybe. But eating supper, nothing wrong with eating supper. Why not? If you're hungry, you have to eat. And, you know, you have to shecht. But that's how life. So feel guilty. That's his standard. A person who's used to that, a person can very easily get used to anything. You try, you know, a person can get used to doing any sort of avera without feeling bad about it. Because what creates guilt is the sense of not having lived up to what I expect of myself. There are certain inyanim that every person, the teva, Rabbeinu Shem has left that oil of the neshama is meir, that unless a person mashkes himself, he knows it's not right, and therefore will feel a sense of guilt. And there's certainly a sipuk when a person does a davar ruchni, that he connects to something that the techa, and that gives him a sense of satisfaction. But naturally, guilt is a reflection of dropping below our standards. And those standards are not what we know, they're what we feel, what we appreciate, what we attach chashivas to, the values. We talk about the fact that children must be, you want to affect your children, you must be careful to behave in a way that they'll see that you behave correctly. Don't expect them to follow what you say and not what you do, right? The children won't follow that. Is that true? Will a child say, you know, I know that my father says it's wrong, but because he does it, I think he really thinks it's right. Children aren't stupid. I'm not sure how often children will make a mistake and actually believe that what the father does is what the father believes to be correct. But when you bring up children, much more is about setting internal standards than telling them information, telling them what's right and wrong. It's not about the machshava, it's about the leiv, about the kavod. And naturally a child measures himself against the standards that they were brought up with. Yes, so he'll know it's wrong, but he won't feel it's wrong. He won't feel guilty. It's the leiv, it's the kavod that defines how we actually live, how we behave. And if that's true about our children, it's just as true about ourselves. A person who wants to develop themselves has to know that what's really going to make a difference is setting internal standards. What is considered a real davening? How much is considered real learning? A person who's used to learning 3 hours a day and learns for two will go to sleep feeling terrible. A person who's used to learning 1 hour and learns two will go to sleep feeling top of the world. What are your standards? What do you expect of yourself? What's considered a chesed when a yid comes over and asks us for a favor? It depends on your standards. Some people, if they didn't go and help him right to the end, feel like the hakakak, they let yid down. And to another, if he didn't yell at him to get lost, he feels, oh, Kvish Sayyid, I've done very well today. It all depends on our internal standards. What do we expect? How much stocker do we expect to give? How much limudat Torah? And what does it mean to learn Torah? What do we expect of ourselves when we're learning? What standard of understanding, of clarity do we expect? And how important is Torah in our lives? Have a mechash of hefset mitzvah keneged tzchoro. How much are we willing to give up for Isak HaTorah? How much are we willing to give up for mitzvahs? And if we have these machshavos during Sfiras HaEmunah, and we're mechashiv hefsid keneged tzchah, how much will I gain from another hour of learning? How much will I lose? How can I compare these two? I'm going to lose in Olam Hazeh, I'm going to gain in Olam Habo. The value and chashivas of Torah, of Matan Torah, the Kedusha of Limudat Torah, the Tzivui of the Mitzvahs of Torah, the more that becomes valuable in our lives, as we count Sfiras HaEmunah, we count each day, we recognize, oh, one step closer to Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one step closer to attaining the goal of Kedusha, of Reimus, of Dveikus B'Torah, the more that has a weight by us, the closer we get to Matan Torah, Memeila the Rebbein Shlomo Mitzidoi will mashpia upon us, and Matan Torah tag of a shefa of kedusha and klokite and peiros elon chidushei Torah beezrus Hashem should be zeicha taka to a year of aliyah b'teirah.